Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, how was your New Year's celebration? Fireworks? Or fizzle? It certainly wasn't the typical midnight toast and singing of Auld Lang Syne, to be sure. And how much fun was it to watch a dozen people or so in Times Square revel in the dropping of the ball? Well, there certainly are things to get excited about as the calendar year recycles again to January 1st. The hope of a vaccination and the end of the pandemic. But we all know life will continue to bring tough times and challenges long after this virus is gone. For instance, will the end of the coronavirus eliminate poverty in the world? Hunger, crime, cancer, drug abuse, mental illness, and a host of other societal problems that we still face and had long before the virus. Will the vaccine put an end to our political divisions that seem so irreparable today? One vaccine isn't going to solve all these problems. Let's be real about what we still will be facing in 2021 and every year thereafter. Maybe the mentioning of a few Disney films can help us out here. That'll get the kids stirring. Our family was having a discussion about films that we had recently seen, and somehow we drifted into Disney films and their ability to really pull you in emotionally. And the reason why they pull us in emotionally is because that we can identify with the characters, even if they are just cartoons. Walt Disney was famous for saying, "Life is composed of lights and shadows, and we would be untruthful, insincere, and saccharine if we tried to pretend there were no shadows." I think Disney was on to something here. When the Disney films came into our conversation, that happens a lot nowadays having grandkids, I always get picked on because back in the Neanderthal days, when Marty and I were first dating, we went to our favorite Helix Theater in San Diego, La Mesa, California, and that was a double feature for $2. Can't beat that, right? And we saw the movie Dumbo. I imagine you know the story, but let me just pick out the moment that I want to draw attention to. You know that Dumbo was born with these large, enormous ears and had become the laughingstock of the circus. Dumbo's mother went into a rage when she sees her child being abused and ends up in a trailer that looks like a prison. When Dumbo sees his mother in lockdown, he is moved to tears. She picks up her little one with the trunk through the bars and rocks him as if in a cradle. To set the record straight, I was not crying. There may have been a tear that seeped down my cheek. I was not crying. The point is, the separation of mother and child is heart-stabbing, even to the most hardened person. There are two other examples that came to my mind as I was thinking about Disney films. These two depict the reality of death and the truth that parents will die. And the truth, that truth, though violently expressed, was the story of Bambi, whose mother was killed by hunters. And then there's the story of Simba and the Lion King, whose father, Mufasa, was killed in a stampede trying to save his young cub. According to my daughter-in-law, Janie, Disney used these heart-rending stories to help kids who had experienced real-life tragedies to feel that they were not alone. The truth is, we all have these real-life tragedies, don't we? There's no escaping the dark shadows of life. And while there's usually a good ending to these movies, the truth is, death still reigns in this life. And when it is a family member or a close friend, as probably many of us have experienced in the last year, there's certainly no fireworks going off. We all feel our spirits begin to fizzle. In light of these realities, as I look to the new year, it makes me wonder how the Apostle Paul can be so uplifted in his spirit. The letter to the Ephesians is what we call one of the prison epistles, along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And yes, prison, that's the context in this incredible passage of praise to God. Why is St. Paul so uplifted in his spirit? Actually, the answer is right there. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms or places." You see, Paul wasn't an escapist. He wasn't a daydreamer who lived in a fantasy world in order to forget about the everyday and unpleasant realities of life. Paul had a spiritual reality which brought him out of the world's sadness and gloominess into the praise of his glory, God's glory. Now, it would take multiple sermons to expound on those 12 verses in our text. In the Greek, it's simply one long run-on sentence, believe it or not. It seems as though Paul can't even take a breath before the breathtaking glory of God he's relating to us today. I want you to take a moment just to break this passage down into three simple, brief points so that you might understand just why the apostle begins this letter with an outpouring of praise to God. And I hope that it gives you encouragement as we walk through the various shadows of this life. The first spiritual blessing can be summed up in the phrase, "He chose us." He chose us. In that choosing, before the foundations of the world, Paul points us to God's will that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Pretty difficult feat, wouldn't you say, for sinners? But what is impossible for man is possible with God. God's will was to adopt us to Himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. That was His will. He chose us for that purpose. Sin has separated us from our heavenly parent. Sin made us orphans. Worse yet, sin has caused us to be dead to God. As spiritually dead people, we're lost forever. Except that God, in His mercy and in His glorious will, ordained us to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. The intent and desire and will to adopt sinners is the glorious grace for which Paul praises God. And he ties in his love. In love, he says, He predestined us to become sons and daughters. Paul knew the depth of his being, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We have been chosen. We are God's people by His grace. The second marvelous blessing, spiritual blessing of God, which follows, is our redemption. In Him, Paul says, in Jesus, we have redemption by His blood. Now, while I said that God's adoption of sinners was impossible for man, possible with God, that doesn't mean it was an easy fix. Forgiveness can only come by a blood sacrifice. But because of our sin and our unworthiness, we cannot be that sacrifice. You see, this is the real reason for Christmas. God became flesh for this reason, to redeem us sinners and to make us holy and blameless before Him, just as He had intended from the very beginning. Not by our own efforts or our own sacrifice, but by our Lord's death on the cross. What richness of grace has been lavished upon us through Christ. His death brought wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of God's will. This precious death of Christ was God's purpose and plan, not just for a day, but as Paul says, for the fullness of time. The third spiritual blessing Paul sums up in saying, in Christ, when you heard the word, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. This sealing involves our preservation until that great and glorious day, no matter what happens to us in this life. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee that God will keep us in Christ until the day of our resurrection and entrance into the kingdom of God, the new heavens and the new earth. Mind you, these are not two separate places. The emphasis Paul is declaring here is that there will be a unification of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth as one entity will glorify God. The separation that we now know will be gone forever. So to sum up, we've been chosen by God the Father, whose will be accomplished because He is God. We have been redeemed by Christ, lavishly graced upon by His forgiveness, purchased with His own saving blood. We have been sealed by the promised Holy Spirit through baptism, and He will keep us safe and secure in Christ till the day of the resurrection, when we will receive our eternal inheritance to the praise of His glory. Now, I feel like I could stop right here and it would end on a really good note. But I feel like sometimes we all need to put some flesh on these words. Paul hasn't been the only realist to bless the blesser. Paul is not the only one to explode in praise to God for all His rich spiritual blessings. History tells us of the martyrdom of Polycarp, who was facing execution for his faith in Christ. "Swear," said the proconsul, "reproach Christ and I will set you free." Polycarp answered, 86 years I have served Him, and He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior?" Polycarp, like the Apostle Paul, praises God for his incredible spiritual blessings. And it was a finale of fireworks, the likes of which have never been seen. From the very fire that took his earthly life, Polycarp was heard to pray this prayer. O Lord God Almighty, the Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the knowledge of you, the God of angels, powers, and every creature, and of all the righteous who live before you, I give you thanks that you count me worthy to be numbered among your martyrs, sharing the cup of Christ and the resurrection to eternal life, both in soul and body, through the immortality of the Holy Spirit. May I be received this day as an acceptable sacrifice, as you, the true God, have predestined, revealed to me, and now fulfilled. I praise you for all these things. I bless you and glorify you, along with the everlasting Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. To you, with him, through the Holy Spirit, be glory both now and forever. Amen. Both Paul and Polycarp confronted the reality of death, and there was not a fizzle of faith, no, but a glorious fireworks display of praise to God that is still lighting the skies of the faithful today. So what's your new year look like? If you're hoping for blessings only in the physical and material realm, you'll be missing something far greater that God has prepared, even given to you now. The spiritual blessings of knowing that God has chosen you for all eternity. The spiritual blessing of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the spiritual blessing of sealing by the Holy Spirit, who will bring us into that everlasting kingdom, to the praise and glory of God. Enjoy the fireworks. Amen.